I grew in a non-Christian family, and as far as I can remember, my mother also told me this years later, we were not a happy family. Okay, religious, my mother would take us to temples and, you know, all kinds of things. But my father would say, always respect all religions. But we were not a happy family. There was constant quarrels. We don't have enough money. My father was a taxi driver. My mother has to sew clothes at home to make ends meet. And we would never have anything, right? So we were poor. And my parents were constantly quarreling because there wasn't enough money and there were other things that were going on. And one day, my father came home at 4 a.m. in the morning and my parents have a big quarrel. And to spite my father, okay, my mother hauled me out of bed. I was at that time 5 years old. My mother hauled me out of bed at 4 a.m. in the morning, dragged me into the bathroom in front of my father and poured a bucket of cold water over me. As a result of that, I caught pneumonia. And from being a very healthy child, I became a very sickly one. I was in and out of hospital, doctor's clinics. Every time there was a celebration in my home, I would be sick. I'd be languishing in bed, watching people celebrate, seeing people enjoy the good food, and I would be feeling miserable. When I was 12 years old, anyone here doing PSLE or just done PSLE? They're not in this group, are they? Are there some doing PSLE or done PSLE? Okay. Finished PSLE or going through? Going through, is it? Okay. So, when my turn came when I was in primary 6, at the beginning of the year, they did what is called BCG. Do you do that now? Still do BCG now? They test you for... No more, right? They was tested and I was found to have tuberculosis. I had TB. All right, and I was warded in hospital for 6 months from March to September. In bed, cannot run around, cannot do anything because tuberculosis is very infectious. Can you imagine how I feel? My friends didn't come and visit me. My teachers didn't care. Only a few, besides my parents, only a few relatives come because it's very infectious in those days. However, one group of people came and they called themselves Christians. And they taught me about Jesus Christ. I didn't come from a Christian home, but these people came and talked to me about Jesus. And I was desperate, and I started praying to Jesus. I said, I don't even know how to pray, so I just chanted the name of Jesus, you know. But I know now there's a Jesus who died for my sins, who loved me, and who has a future for me. So I just prayed that way. Came out of hospital end of September. So I was in hospital from March to September. When is PSLE? Middle of October, right? So I went back to school for 2 weeks. And set for PSLE. What chance do you think I have to pass? Hello? 10%? 20%? How many of you think I will have 20% to pass? If I pass, it will be a miracle, right? Yes or no? Yes. But let me say this to you. I not only passed, I came near the top of my cohort. If that is not God, I don't know what else is. So the advantage, and that is one of the reasons why I'm a preacher today, because Jesus Christ is real. He's been real in my life ever since. Then comes O-levels. So that was the first time. Then come O-levels, as if it will be over, right? I was studying with a friend preparing for O-levels, and we were still, my family and I was, we were still poor, so we go to a friend's place to study, right? We were serving in a Christian organization. By then I was in Sec 4, I was serving in the Christian organization as a volunteer. And then, because of exams, they give us a space to study, so a couple of my friends and myself, we studied in this office, you know, because homes are very small and very noisy, and we were studying there. And after lunch, we were clearing up some rubbish, and I was taking the garbage down to the rubbish dump to throw. And I had to walk down a flight of steps, and it had been raining that morning, and the steps were slippery. And I slipped, and I fell down through those stairs, and had my right foot stuck between some railings, and they tore my toes. Yeah, you okay? I'm glad you feel the way that I felt. And they have to rush me to hospital. And the next day was the first day of the O level exams. And I was going to the exam hall limping, a lot of pain. Of course, the rest of that time I couldn't study. I had to be in hospital. They have to sew me out, and I was screaming in pain. And I went there, went to do my O-level exams in great pain. All through the exams, I was in pain, limping. And once again, I not only passed, I came good enough to go back to A-levels in my school. In those days, it's no junior college, okay? A-levels. And I was good enough to be able to go back to that. So I just want to say to all of you who are preparing for exams, study the best way you can. Do the best you can. But always look to the Lord. Don't neglect spiritual things because of exams. You know, nowadays, and in fact, in my time, I have friends, exam time, they don't come to church. I think they probably don't even pray or read the Bible. Yeah. You know, there's one scripture I want to share with you. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. How many of you know the scripture? I start reciting. Can you follow? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That has become my life scripture. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Everything you need will become his business. So twice in major exams, I've seen God's advantage in my life. I want to share that with you to encourage you to put God first in everything. Even as you go through your exams, the Lord will be with you. You just do your part and leave the rest to him. But don't neglect your spiritual discipline. Read the Bible, pray, put him first, and he will be with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Now I'm here to share with you a little bit about what happened with this church. Well, it wasn't here. It was in another place called Prince Charles Crescent. Not too far from here. If you go down Alexandra Road towards the city, maybe about 2.5-3 kilometers from here, okay? And the Church of David actually began there in 19... It was a church that was started in 1959. And it was an outreach to people who were staying in the Henderson Road area who were railway workers. You know, we still have this... There used to be a railway from Singapore all the way to Penang. It's called the Malayan Railways. And there were railway workers who were put into quarters in Prince Charles Crescent, in the Henderson Road area. And the church was originally started as a mission to reach out to those workers. They actually even have a clinic to take care of them. And they started a church called Church of Our Savior in a road called Prince Charles Crescent. And I was made the number 7 pastor in 1975. And the reason why they put me there was, first of all, they couldn't find anybody else. I was the only one available, okay? It wasn't that because I was good or anything, I was smart or spiritual. They couldn't find anyone else. I was a theological school student, so they say, okay, Pastor Derek, you're going to be in that church. So they put me there. And when I arrived there, okay, the church was about 70 over people, and it was one of those old traditional churches that were very small. It seats about 200 over people. And it was poor. The roof was leaking. The window panes were broken because my predecessor opened up the church for people just to come in and do whatever they like. Okay, it was more like a club. Young people were playing soccer in a car park, and at that time they have glass windows were broken. Some even came to practice karate on church furniture. So then they put in those days they have wooden pews in the church, not like seats like this, comfortable seats that you can fall asleep in. And in those seats you sit down, you cannot fall asleep because it's so uncomfortable, right? So they put what they call wheels on the pews, which they can then move the pews aside and drew a badminton court in the middle of the church to play badminton. That was the church I took over, okay? And I took over the church because, as I said, they couldn't find anyone else there to go there. But there was another reason. I experienced in 1975 something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is another encounter with the Holy Spirit that empowers you to serve God. Okay, the Lord Jesus... The Bible tells us that every Christian must have two encounters with the Holy Spirit. The first encounter with the Holy Spirit is when we come to Jesus, when we become His disciples. When we say we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we get baptized in water, we receive the Holy Spirit. The second time that we are supposed to encounter the Holy Spirit is before we begin a ministry. We receive what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to serve God with spiritual power. See, spiritual work can only be done with spiritual power. Spiritual work cannot be done with physical power. Of course, we need energy, we need physical resources and physical strength as well. But ultimately, spiritual work has to be driven by spiritual power. And we are dealing with spiritual forces of the devil. And you need, therefore, a spiritual encounter. Second encounter with the Holy Spirit that often comes with what we call signs. Yeah? So evidence, speaking in tongues, and healing, prophecy, and speaking God. Prophecy is simply speaking God's word, either in relationship to someone's past, someone's present, or someone's future. That's prophecy. We release words from God into people's lives that will bless them, that will encourage them, that will help them to grow and overcome certain issues in their life. That's a prophecy. All these kinds of things are to happen when we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will empower us and give us confidence to preach the gospel, to serve God in the church. So, I encountered that. Right, and I began to pray to the Lord to bring that into Church Our Savior. Even though we were very small, in fact, my welcome party into the church was very interesting. I was welcomed by a group. We had a group of about 20 young people in 1975 when I was made the pastor of the church. And they came and welcomed me, and they said this. They called me Padre in those days. A Padre is a Spanish word for pastor. And they said, Padre, we don't like you. How do you like a welcome party to begin with that? Alright. Be that as it may, alright. The person actually who said that actually now has joined the church that I'm pastoring now, okay? 40 years later, this lady came back after saying that to me and reconnected with me, and she's now with me again. So what happened was I encountered the Holy Spirit. I was praying in tongues. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is really the Holy Spirit, not just some ventilation that I'm going through, or some experience I'm generating myself, you know, send me to a hard place. I don't want to go to some church that have already plenty of people and plenty of money. And so the Lord sent me to this church, okay? Basically because they couldn't send anyone else. There was no other candidate available. So I was there. And in 1978, and that's why today, we're celebrating 1978. Actually, 1978 was a very significant year, even for Singapore. 1978 was when Billy Graham first came to Singapore. You may not have heard of Billy Graham. Or if you have, that's good. If you have not, you can do a Google about him, okay? He's a man, a great preacher of the gospel. Wherever he preached, thousands of people come to Christ. And he came to Singapore. And in February 1978, he came to Singapore in December 1978. But what happened in Church of Our Savior was in February 1978, we had what we call a revival. The Holy Spirit fell on many people. People who were long-time Christians who have never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. New people who came into the church who never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Non-Christians who came to receive Jesus Christ and never experienced all began to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They received miracles. People who have demons cast out of them. And many healings take place. There was one lady who brought her sister who had leprosy. And you read about in the Bible, Jesus healed people of leprosy. Okay? We pray for her, she was healed of leprosy. The sister came and said, my sister has been healed of leprosy. So we have many things like that. We had a woman who was carried in by a few people. Like in the Gospels, after prayer, she got up and walked home. And so the whole church was turned upside down because people were experiencing miracles. They were encountering God in many, many ways. We actually started a Thursday night meeting. Okay, so that we call it a prayer and praise meeting. And many people come on Thursday night after work and we open up the church, just share testimonies. Everybody will come out, wow, they will line up to share testimonies, what God has done for them in their places of work, in their homes, healings that have taken place, people coming to Jesus through their witnessing and testimony. And we were baptizing in those years almost 200 to 300 adults every year. So almost every month we have a baptism service. Because so many people were coming to Jesus. So many people were being blessed by the Lord. And we were growing as a church, every 2 or 3 years we were double in size. Until that church cannot take people anymore. We had to tear down all the walls on the sides. We literally become a church without walls. People were sitting in the car park. That's now one of the ladies came to me after the first service here and said, you know, Pastor, I was one of those who sat in the car park in those days. And she's still here. I'm so happy to see her again. And as a result of that, we begin to look for a bigger place. We tried to build in that place, but there were some problems that we couldn't do it at that time. And then God gave us this cinema. And another time I tell you the story about how we got this cinema. Okay, with $300,000, we bought a cinema that cost $2.5 million. Now in those days, it was a lot of money. We only had $300,000 in our building fund. After all the people gave, people were giving generously. They were giving their jewelry. They were giving empty. There was one lady who came to me and emptied her bank account. Said, Pastor, God has placed upon my heart to give all this money for the building fund. And I said, no, I can't take that from you. Go back and ask God again. I was so scared to take it from her. She went back. A few days later, came again. No, God told me to give all this money to the church for the building fund. Then I accepted it. And later on, she became a missionary from Church of Our Savior, sent out to serve in the Philippines. So God was doing tremendous things. In every service, we were seeing people coming to Jesus. The Lord was touching people. Whatever we do, during communion time, people receive Jesus. Can you imagine that? You know? And sometimes people will be sitting at the back, non-Christians, they come because the wife had come to the Lord, the husband don't want to sit up front, sit at the back, the wife will sit near the front. And during the worship, they will feel somebody pushing them to run up here. They looked behind them, nobody, but they were being pushed and come away, and they kneel down before me and cry out to Jesus and give their lives to Jesus Christ. We're seeing all this kind of thing. Young people, let me tell you this. There was a 14 or 15 years old. Every time she come to church, she would sit near the front. In fact, sit behind me. I don't know. Initially, I don't know why she wanted to choose to sit behind, but every time she was there, when the worship begins, she would take out a notebook and begin to write down what God was telling her about the people in the church. And she would tear those pieces of paper to hand them to me. And I would look at them, and I would just read them out. And the people who were spoken about through her prophetic writing would respond to Jesus Christ. Amazing things like that were taking place all the time. But it also means that we work very hard, okay? Constantly people were phoning us up for prayer. You know, all kinds of people were coming to the church all day, all night, were coming, asking for ministry, asking for prayer. But we were so thrilled and so excited about what God was doing. There's no problem, no sweat, yeah? It was tough, it was tiring, but it was such a joy to see people coming to Christ. That is the initial revival of Church of Our Savior. And then that happened from February 1978, February, the last 3 days of February, okay? It started on the 26th, 27th, 28th, and then it just kept on happening. And then the Billy Graham Crusade came along in December. 55,000 people packed in. How many of you went for Pray Singapore? All you go for Pray Singapore? Not many hands, huh? Okay? So at the National Stadium, 55,000 people packed the stadium. And when Billy Graham preached, thousands of people will come down from the stands to receive Jesus Christ. Church of Our Savior was ready. We were called, we sent people there to be counselors, and we brought in many more people through that rally. Okay. At the end of a couple of years, they actually did a survey. You know, they found how many people through the Billy Graham rallies actually stayed in the churches. We have the highest number of percentage. 27%. In internationally, 2 to 3% stay in the church. But we have the highest number because of the Holy Spirit working among our members. So today I'm here to share these exciting things with you. Not that God will repeat them. God actually doesn't repeat himself. But I want to share with you because these are things that are supposed to happen, maybe in different ways, but are supposed to continue to happen because they are the results of the power of the Holy Spirit working among the people of God. And you are part of that. That's why I'm specifically mentioned to you the young people in the church. Okay, initially the young people didn't accept this. In fact, many of them left the church, although a few of them came back and become part of Church Our Savior. But most of them didn't believe in those days because they were influenced by a different group of people. You see, the important thing is you must come back always to the Word of God. The Word of God. You must have a passion for what is true. If the Bible says it, we dare not do it. Yeah. If the Bible says you don't, we don't. If the Bible says, if God says it in the Word, we do, we dare not do. So things like healing, casting out of evil spirits, speaking in tongues, God says it's there. It's part and parcel of being a normal Christian. It's normal as a Christian to speak in tongues. It's normal to heal the sick. It's normal to cast out devils. It's not something that is special for people. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has. Okay, I'm going to share with you very quickly some teaching. I hope that it will encourage you and strengthen your faith. Okay, let's read together from 1 Corinthians. And I've entitled this, The Holy Spirit Operating in Church Life. Read together with me, 1 Corinthians. Can we have the lights on so that I can see the whites of the eyes of the people? Okay, I don't like preaching into the dark. Okay, let's have the house lights on a little bit, just to indulge me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Let me hear you read aloud. Ken, are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, this passage of the Bible has been traditionally interpreted as each Christian is allotted a certain fixed set of gifts. Okay? And I've called it the power of the Holy Spirit versus the fixed quota of spiritual gifts. Because this is the traditional understanding by many, many, many Christians and pastors. They believe that all of us have a fixed quota of spiritual gifts in relation to this passage of the Bible. Okay? Now, the problem with this is that it has come through the translation. How do we come to believe in this? It comes through the translation. The people who translated the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into English do have a problem. See, most of them are scholars, and they've given their lives to make God's word understandable to those of us who don't know Greek, don't know Hebrew. Right? So they work hard to make God's word available to the rest of the world. But many of them, because they are scholars, they have never encountered this experience of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So they have a problem trying to translate this into the vernacular. Even in Chinese, okay, the Chinese Bible also use the word gifts, but they have a footnote that says this is an explanation. So, in translating the Bible, people are trying to explain the Bible. Interpretation is involved. You cannot do it in a vacuum. But because they don't have the experience, many of them have never experienced this power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, so they're thinking it in terms of gifts, in the sense of natural gifts like talents. Right? So some of you are very musical. Others can't sing to save their lives. Right? Some are very technical. You are like great computer. You know, you like Pastor Daniel is fantastic with technology. You have computer technology. Like, I can just get by. Right? Do a bit of PowerPoint. Wow, I'm so happy. Right? But other things, I may be better than, and probably better than Pastor Daniel and other things. So they think in terms of this kind of a natural ability that God has given to us when we are born. God builds it into our DNA so that we function differently from someone else, because all of us are unique and special in the eyes of God. But when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, this is wrong. This thinking is not the same. Because when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't receive gifts. You receive the whole Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has. Do you follow? Alright, so turn to your neighbor and say, you have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has. Now, in this passage of the Bible, the context is 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13, and 14. It's all about what is called the body life of the church. When we come to Jesus Christ, we become part of the body of Jesus Christ. Do you follow? So we are all part of the same body, but we all have the same Holy Spirit. So when we come together, actually we form the body of Jesus. Now when you gather together today like this, right, we are actually tangibly forming the body of Jesus. We become like Jesus together. Okay, we are the body. Now the body is a very beautiful picture. The body speaks of mutual dependence. We each part of the body exists to take care of other parts of the body. Do you realize that? No part of the body looks after itself. In fact, if you have a cut on your finger, the finger cannot heal itself. The finger cannot heal, take care of itself. You need all the other parts of the body to come in to help. And the first is, like, let's say I cut my finger, right? The first thing that happens is I get my other hand to hold the finger to make sure the bleeding, hold back the bleeding so they don't bleed so much, correct? The second thing is that my feet will begin to take me to the medicine cabinet so that I can get some medication to try and stop the bleeding. Right? Or take me to the doctor. The third thing that happens is my mouth opens up and I call, Mommy. Do you do that? I do that, okay? So, anyway, so then inside me, something more exciting is happening. There's an alarm that goes off. There's a siren that goes off in my brain. And it summons all the white blood cells in my body to rush to that cut. And these white blood cells will die fighting any germ that want to invade this finger, this body. That's the picture of the body. That's what we're meant to be like. Yeah, we have to fight for one another. So the Holy Spirit is in every believer to function according to the need of the other parts of the body, so that every part is helped. Okay, so in this passage of the Bible, it's not about gifts, it's about how the Holy Spirit operates within the body of Christ. And there are five words, it's not gifts, nothing to do with gifts, there are five Greek words that describe what the Holy Spirit does when the people of God come together. Okay, the first is this word in chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, to save time, I just go quickly into this. In verse 1, there's this word called pneuma patikun. Okay, everybody can learn some Greek today. Can or not? Alright, read together. Pneumatikun. Okay, and it comes from the first verse, if you can keep your Bible open at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first verse when Paul says, now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. That word spiritual gifts comes from this word pneumatikun, which literally means spiritual things, or literally spirituals. Spiritual things, not about gifts. It's the spirit things that are operating there, that are around there. Okay, the next word is in verse 4, where it says again, spiritual gifts. It is come from the Greek word charismatun. Everybody say charismatun, which literally means things of grace. The word grace comes from the Greek word charis. Charis. Anybody named Grace here? All right, charis. So charismatun, the things of grace. It's not about spiritual gifts. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says that with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. So when miracles were happening, grace was at work. It's the grace things. It's not about gifts. It's the Holy Spirit operating the grace things through His servants. Okay, the next word found in verse 5, it's the word diakonion. Everybody read? Diakonion. Diakonion is where you get the word deacon. Okay, in the Anglican church, there's a pastor, some kind of pastors called deacon. Actually, they are like pastors with L plate. Okay? They're called deacons. Okay? So diakonion. But literally, it means ministries or services. A ministry or services. So we have the Holy Spirit ministers or serves to the people, to different members of the body for the benefit of the whole body. Then in verse 6, there's this word called anagamatun. Everybody say anagamatun. And you can see the word there that comes where you get energy, right? So it's the energizings or operations of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the energizing. So the Holy Spirit energizes us when we worship the Lord. Yeah, when we set our hearts to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives energy. So that we all can do God's work and operate the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 7, there's this word called phanerosis. Okay, everybody read? Phanerosis, where it literally means manifestations or tangible expressions of reality and presence. Okay, tangible expressions of reality. So somebody speaking in tongues, that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So how do you know the Holy Spirit is present? These things happen. Okay, healings happen. Speaking in tongues happen. People see visions. People get healed. These are the manifestations, the tangible expressions of reality, spiritual realities that we cannot see with our physical eyes, but are expressed in tangible and physical expressions or manifestations. Okay? So we receive the Holy Spirit Himself. Okay, let's read that passage again and see, you can see where these words are placed so that you can catch it. Okay, it says there in verse 1, now about spiritual gifts, okay, comes from the word pneumatikun. I do not want you to be ignorant. Then from verse 4 to verse 7, there are different kinds of gifts. Okay, it's not gifts, but it's charismatun, grace things. But the same spirit operating in different people. There are different kinds of service. So the Holy Spirit operating to different people, serving one another in different ways. Same Lord, yeah? The different kinds of working, the energamiton. But the same God works all of them in all men. So everyone has the same Holy Spirit, and God is working, energizing different members of the body to serve other members of the body. Now, to each one is the manifestation, the phanerosis of the Spirit, given for the common good. So every part of the body is serving to build up the rest of the body. Do you know right now that your body, every part of your body, is fighting to keep you healthy? All the cells in your body, do you know that when you're sitting there, you're breathing in air that's full of bacteria? You know that, right? Even though it's nice aircon. Full of bacteria. This is scientifically proven. So inside you, your cells are fighting. Your liver is getting rid of the toxins that you have taken through your lunch. Alright? And other things are happening in your body that fighting to keep you well and healthy. This is this picture that God has given to us. The Holy Spirit is operating in different members of the body. Because we all have, if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the same Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ. And He's working. Church is not meant to be like this. Okay, where one person talk, the rest try to keep awake. Okay, or play with your thing. Maybe that's why we need the lights on. So we can see who is still playing games while pastor is preaching, you know? Or you have a few people up here who are preaching, who are worshipping, leading the worship, playing the music, and some of you are just sitting there, I don't like that song lah, can you change to some other song? Yeah, preacher, pastor, what? You know, that kind of thing. So it's going on in church, right? No! Church is not meant to be like this. Church is meant to be everyone alive. The Holy Spirit operating, energizing, manifesting, serving, giving grace to others. This is what it means to be a part of the church. It's a beautiful body that God has given to us. Okay, let me show you something else from here. So we have all these things the Holy Spirit is doing in everybody, meeting the needs of one another. So we belong to Jesus, and we have the same Holy Spirit. Okay, it says here, for the one, read with me, John 3:34, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Same. God is not stingy. There is no inferior Holy Spirit for the person who is not very mature. There is no junior Holy Spirit for kids. Hello? How many of you consider yourself still a kid? The same Holy Spirit that I have, you have. The same Holy Spirit Jesus has, you have, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And He wants to use you to operate. I was telling the other congregation, okay, there's when I was here many years ago, our children's ministry actually teach our children to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We teach them to get baptized in the Spirit, speak in tongues. They will do what I call soaking sessions to get downloads from the Lord. They taught to heal the sick. Okay, my grandchildren were here, and whenever we're sick, come on, pray for grandpa, pray for grandma, you know, and they do it, all right? And there was one time, one of the mummies came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Derek, I want to encourage you in this, because my son has been taught in these things. He said, my son goes to a school, and his form teacher is a Christian. And the teacher has told me that she has heard about what we do in Church of Our Savior. Because every time somebody is sick in the class, she will call my son up in class to pray for the one who is sick. With good effect. So we're very encouraged. Yeah, because it's not the junior Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to all of us. You see? So it's without limit. So the Holy Spirit operates in church life. When you come into your cell groups, the Holy Spirit is in everyone. And He wants to use every member of the cell group to be a blessing, to be a healer, yeah, to be a deliverer, to be a messenger to one another. According to the needs that the Holy Spirit sees in the group. So this is a very important part of church life. Okay, read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So God, what is God saying here? God is saying here, nobody comes to church empty-handed. Turn around to your neighbor and say, never come empty-handed. And God is not talking about just the tithes and the offerings. Tithes and offerings are very important. Pastors always try to remind you, right? Don't come empty-handed in regard to your tithes and offerings. Because that's a way to get God's provision also. Here is more than tithes and offering. More than money. It has to do with the spiritual things. The grace things. The energizings. The services. And the manifestations. Everyone is to come. This is just a sample list. It's not exhaustive. Yeah? There are other things that God will give to people if they come with this understanding and this commitment. That I'm not just coming here to be entertained. I'm not just coming here to be blessed, even though we will be blessed. Right? I'm not just coming here to look for my friends. Although friends are very important. I'm coming here because God has given me something to bring to my brothers and sisters. For the health and the strengthening of the whole body. So every cell group you go to, every service you come to, you should ask God, God, what can I bring today that will bless the body that I belong to? And you know, the Lord will give it to you. The Lord will give it to you. How does it happen? Right? Let me give you a few examples. Okay, for instance, you're coming to church. In the MRT, you say, Lord, I want to follow your word. I want to obey your word. I want to bring something for my brothers and sisters. I want to strengthen the body of Church of Our Savior. Then as you come off the train, as you start walking towards the service, and you feel this pain in the back. Suddenly, oh, how come I got this back pain? I didn't bump into anything. I didn't fall down. I was okay when I boarded the train. How come now I got this pain? And then you remember that you have asked the Lord to give you something for the benefit of someone else. So if there's a chance in the service, okay, or even if there's not, You can ask the Lord to show you who He's for. Yeah. And then you can say, you know, I think there's somebody here, or maybe more than one person, who's got a problem with your back. In fact, you're feeling the pain now. That is called a word of knowledge. Do you get it? That's called a word of knowledge. And sure enough, there will be people, yeah, I got back pain. Then we can pray for them, and they will heal. Okay, another example would be like you're worshipping the Lord. Yeah, wow, you're enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus. You're so enjoying this worship time. Wow, God, you're so good. I love you, Lord Jesus. Wow, yeah, you're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. Then suddenly this, what you are seeing changes and you see a picture of somebody like struggling in the water, you know, like drowning. You say, Lord, I don't want to see this picture. I want to see you. I'm enjoying this worship. What's this thing messing me up? Maybe it's from the devil even, you know. But then you remember, oh, when I was coming to church, I asked God to give me something for someone. And if there's a chance, you can tell the pastor or tell someone and it can be announced. You know, there are probably some people here who are struggling. It's like almost you're drowning in this water, you know. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your studies, maybe it's your work, and God is here. He knows what you're going through, and He's here to encourage you, to bless you, and if He allows us to pray for you, you will have a solution. You will have a peace of mind to overcome this problem. And sure enough, there'll be two or three people and say, come on, yeah, I was going through a terrible time. I felt like I was drowning. I had this one time in the service here, and I saw actually this picture. That's why I'm using it as an example. Okay? And after I shared that, two persons came up. One was a lady who went for a holiday, and she and some friends or family members were on a lake. They were doing some canoeing, and the canoe capsized, and she almost drowned. As a result of that, she had great fear of water. After that, she dare not go near swimming pools or seas or lakes. And she came out, she had this fear of water. We prayed for her. Overcome. She said, yeah, I literally had this drowning experience. So, you know, the other person also had the same thing. So we can have things like that happening. You know, like I told you about this lady, this young girl who came in when the service start, the Lord would just download on her things about people in the church, and she would scribble them on this pad and just tear out the pieces of paper to give to me, and I would read them out, and the people will be there and they will come out. Wow, it's not me, right? It's not even her, but the Holy Spirit energizing her, manifesting this powerful thing through her, so that people are blessed, and the new people will come, wow, God is alive in this place. And you don't even have to preach, you know, people will come. God is alive. God is real in this place. You see? So the Holy Spirit wants to operate through every single one of you. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, after the service is over, after the cell group is over, when you leave the company of your brothers and sisters, you still have the same Holy Spirit, right? Actually, what you are now is you are little Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the word Christ is not part of the name of Jesus. The word Christ means anointing, the anointed one. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. So you and I are the same. We come out of the service, we still have the same Holy Spirit. So wherever I go, I am like Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, if you believe, you will do the things I do. And even more, okay? We won't go into that. But the point is, you will do the things I do. Now, I have not done everything that Jesus wants me to do yet, I'm sure, okay? But I have the confidence and I have the belief that whenever I have a chance, I can do the things that Jesus does. I try. Now, years ago, there was a hawker center here. Okay? How many of you know there was a hawker center here? Okay. How many of you have eaten at the hawker center? Okay. What do you like best about the hawker center? Wow, okay. Wow, y'all remember the food. Okay, you're like Pastor Derek who remembers his food. Okay. Alright, the chicken rice, right? The char kway teow, right? Yeah, wow. Okay, now all gone. But I tell you this, there was one yu cha kway store. How many remember the yu cha kway store? Yeah, there's a lady who tried yucha kueh ham chim peng, right? Very popular with Church of Our Savior members, okay? So one day, after the youth service, okay, Auntie Sulan and I were having dinner at the hawker center. And so we were eating chok that day, right? This lady from the yucha kueh store owns a sit next to us. And I noticed that she wasn't looking too comfortable. So in my kind of broken Chinese, I said, "Are you okay, or not?" She said, "Well, actually what happened was I renovated my apartment, but this morning I went into the bathroom, I slipped and I fell and I hurt my tailbone. I'm very in a lot of pain now." So I said, "So what do you do?" She said, "I went to the doctor. Doctor gave me some medicine. I take the medicine, I feel better, but after a while the pain come back." So obviously what they have done is just given her painkillers. Right? So I said, "Do you mind if my wife and I pray for you?" Now, I don't know whether she knows I'm the pastor, but she said, "Okay, all right." So we shifted one side, my wife sit on one side of her, I sit on the other side of her, we put our hands on her in the hawker center, a lot of you watching us. And we just pray for healing, we minister healing to her. So after a few seconds, I asked, "How do you feel?" She said, "Still painful." So I said, "Can we pray again?" She said, "Okay." Right? Sometimes it's not the one time, you got to persist. So I said, "Okay, we do it again." We lay hands on her, then after about 10, 15 seconds, I said, "How do you feel?" She said, first time, nothing. But this second time, when your wife put her hands on me, I felt electricity go through my body and my pain has gone." I'll give the Lord a clap. So I said, "God, why like that? I'm the man of God, no. I should be the one, no." So I said to her, I said, "Okay, now this is what often happens, you know. The devil don't like what Jesus has done for you. This is done by Jesus, not us, you know. The devil don't like what Jesus does. And sometimes the pain can come back. And if tonight the pain comes back, you call on the name of Jesus. Tomorrow I can't check on you, okay?" She agreed. So next day, I can't wait to go and see her, alright? So I went to her store and I saw her in the morning, running her business. She's still in charge, managing, collecting cash and directing the customers and her staff and so on. So I said to her, "Hey, how was it?" She said, "Yeah, last night the pain came back." I said, "What do you do?" "I call on Jesus." "So how?" I said, "You see, now I'm okay. No more pain." Alright? Wow, you know, from that day onwards, I have a lifetime supply of free yucha kueh. But to tell the truth, I don't eat that stuff. It's poison. Anyway, I can't find her now. I don't know where she goes, okay? So what I'm trying to share with you is that the Holy Spirit is in us. One more story before I close, okay? I took a group of youth pastors, I don't know whether they're still around, I took a group of youth pastors to South Africa one time for ministry. There were about, I think, three of them who came with me. And we were staying in a hotel, and the night before we arrived, we went down to the lounge and we had a drink. The happy hour, okay? So I said, "Come, let's go and have a drink." And we were sitting down there having a bit of refreshment, and we saw the waiter, okay, the waiter, and I saw him dragging his foot like that. You know, so I said to the guys who were with me, I said, "I'd like us to go and pray for this guy." You know? So when there was a break in the service, we went to him and we introduced ourselves. He said, I noticed that you were dragging your foot. Are you okay? Can we pray for you?" "Yeah, I had an accident many years ago, and my leg, you know, whenever I stand for long, I have to do double shift, it's very painful and it hurts me." So I said, "Do you mind if we pray for you?" Now, he happened to be a Christian. Okay, his name was Martin. So, the youth pastors with me, we lay hands on him right there in the lounge, and we ministered to him, and he stood very still. I was looking at him, he was very still. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah. I felt the blood rushing down to my injured leg and I feel like running," he said. But he cannot run because he got work to do, right? So, okay, we thank the Lord and we said, "This is Jesus." The next morning, Auntie Sula and I went for breakfast. And we were sitting in the cafe for breakfast. We just started to take the buffet, right? Just as we sit down, before we can take one bite, we saw this big, tall, dark, black African guy with the hat of the chef standing in front of me. He said, "Good morning, Pastor." I said, how do you know I'm a pastor? I don't know you. Then Martin appeared. Martin from the night before appeared. Martin said, "This is my friend. He's the chief chef of the hotel and he suffers from gout. Pastor, can you pray for him? As you did for me last night." So I said, "Sure." So Auntie Sula and I stood up in the middle of the cafe. All right. People are starting to come for breakfast and they're looking at us. And we lay hands on him and he had pain. Gout is painful joints. Huh? We pay for it. And the pain left him. After that, one after another, waiters, waitresses, all start lining up for prayer. Okay. By then, all the other house guests were coming and they were moving around. Actually, the restaurant was not very big. Okay, so they were juggling with their toast lah, with their drinks lah, with their, I was looking at those food, you know. So one by one, they were coming. Ladies, the men, they all had problems, pains all over. One lady had pains all over. We prayed for her. The Lord gave me a word. You have a problem with your mother-in-law. She confessed, forgave her mother-in-law. Minister, she got healed. Then I saw this lady poking her head out from the kitchen door. I said, "You want some of this? Come la." So she came, alright? And she didn't want to come because she's not a Christian. She thought this is only for Christians. And in South Africa, there are many Christians. So I said, "Never mind, you come because Jesus loves you." So I shared, very quickly, I shared the gospel with her. "Do you want to receive Jesus?" She said, "Yes." Right there. So we prayed for her. She also had a lot of pains on her body. And she was healed. But people were still coming. We didn't have one bite yet there. Where's some, no, for me, okay? So I said, time out. I said, "Cannot continue. I got a service to go to at 10 o'clock, okay? This is almost 9 o'clock, right? We were praying. Okay, what we'll do is, we're going to stay in this hotel for a few more days. This is our last day. On the last day, if you can organize a room, a function room, invite your friends, your staff, your colleagues, we will pray. My team and I will pray." So they did. On the last day we stayed at the hotel, they had this function room and there were people, they invited friends from outside to come. Alright, so we were ministering to people, people were falling down, demons were being cast out, revival broke out in the little hotel. Right? Even before I was trying to leave the hotel, the front desk clerk said, "Pastor!" I said, "You wanna? Okay." Why can my team and I do that? We didn't have a service. We didn't have a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. The reason is because the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's in Jesus, is in all of us. And so we can confidently do it. I want to encourage all of you. Yeah, when you go back to school, when you go back to your place of work, when you go back to your family, look out for needs in people's lives. You see somebody coughing, just say, "I notice you're coughing a lot this day. Can I say a prayer over you?" I can tell you, people don't mind. People love it. And even if nothing happens, it showed one thing. It showed that you care. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You care." Let's stand and pray together. I want you to lift up your hands and just begin to thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, get one of the pastors or one of the leaders to teach you a little bit about that and pray. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have, now you have to activate the things of the Spirit in you. Every time you go to a cell group, every time you come to church, ask God for something. Right? Even if you have no opportunity to come here, come out here to share, ask God to show you who is it for. And over the refreshment time, you can go to somebody and say, I think I received something from God for you. If it's not right, it's okay. And if you make mistake, it's alright. This church is the place to learn and to try. Amen? So even if it doesn't work, it's okay. You try. God will honor that. And if you keep doing it, you will see results. God will use you mightily. Let me bless you now. Lift up your hands. And if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I want. I want the fullness of your Spirit. I don't want just to be a pew warmer. I don't want just to come and be entertained. I want to be more and more like Jesus in every way. Just as he who have baptized Jesus with the Holy Spirit, fill Jesus with the Holy Spirit, fill me also. I want to have more of you, Lord. And today I give all of myself to you. Will you say that now? Lord, I give all of myself to you. So that I can have more of you. I surrender to you my body. Every faculty of my being, that you may use me to extend your kingdom, to strengthen your church, and to bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just open your heart. Open your heart. By faith, begin to receive. And speak out in tongues if you have not done so before. Just six, make some sound and say, Lord, I will offer this kushalabakata mashiki handara shanda. I offer this to you, Lord. Kralapa shiki halabakanda mashiki handara mashanda. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to bless right now your word into the hearts of these, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that no youth is to be despised. No man should despise your youth. But by example, in life, in purity, you will glorify him. So, Lord, I just speak now your presence to grow in every single one of these, my brothers and sisters. That they will begin to generate a deep hunger, even a sense of desperation for you in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Yes, he is, right? You know, I love hearing Pastor Derek, and when he shared, I'm just so bowled over by the goodness of God that we are where we are as individuals and as a church because of how good God is for us, nothing more than that. And I want to honor Pastor Derek for his faithful service, not just him for all, but also all the other forefathers that has gone before us as well, who has been radically obedient to God. And Kus is different for it. I am different for it, and the team is. So as much as Pastor Derek has shared his life with us and prayed for us, I think it's right and fitting that we pray for him, and also for all our Kus forefathers that has gone before us as well. Uncle Alex and Uncle Gian as well. Uncle Alex, are you around? He's right here. Right at the back, always watching over us, huh? One front, one back, very good. Shall we all stretch out our hands? Can we pray for Pastor Derek and also all the fathers who have built this church together? Come, let's all pray on our own for a while and then I'll close in prayer. Thank you. God, we thank you for being such a good God. You are such a good Father. Holy Spirit, we honor you for the works that you have done in this church and in this nation. Do whatever you will through our lives and through this church. We honor who you are, and we ask that you are free to move as you wish. God, as a youth ministry, we honor Pastor Derek and the fathers who have gone before us, those who are here and those who are not. God, we pray for them that you would refire them, that in this season of their lives, in the second half, they will serve you with even more fire than before, that they will love you deeper than they have been in their younger days even, that they will be fire starters for you wherever they are at. As they have been trailblazers before, they will continue to be trailblazers all the way to the end of their lives. So Father, give them your wisdom, set them on fire for you. I thank you that they always move in the power of your Holy Spirit. Keep them going strong, strong and courageous in you. Father, bless them in their health, bless them in their hearts. Let their minds be clear, let their discernment be sharp.
Amen.
Father, extend their influence as they just serve you with all their whole hearts. Father, I pray for their hearts that they will always be pure before you, that they love you with all of their hearts and nothing less than that. And may through their example, may you be glorified. Father, inspire us continuously through their example. May we also be like them. I thank you that their ceiling is our floor. So God, bless each and one of them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Would you like to pray for them?
Okay, I want all of you to come forward. Right. If you can, okay, as many as you have come forward. I've been asked to pray a special prayer over all of you. This is, you know, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every generation is important to God. And even as one generation finishes their assignments, the next generation builds on what the previous generation has done. And none of us take any credit. None of us take any glory in all this. It's all the Lord. And He's using one generation after another. You are the next generation. I want to impart to you, I trust that some of the stories that I've told will resonate in your heart. It will stir you up to say, I want some of that stuff. That's what happened to me. When I heard stories, I want some of that stuff. I don't want just to play church. I don't want just to sit there and soak and play with my devices. And what's the point? Life is far more precious. Great things, great needs out there that only you can meet. God has raised you up for a purpose. God sent His Son to die for you because you're important to Him and because He's investing in you. God is like a businessman. He puts he invests in every single one of us. And when He invests, He expects there to be good returns. Like a farmer, he plants a seed, he expects there to be good fruit. We are His seed. His word has been planted in us, and we expect us to produce some good fruit. And you are to be that. So I want you to ask God to make your heart fertile soil for His word. Your mind, your heart. Okay, don't neglect your mind. Studying is important. Learning is important. Don't ever stop learning. In this day, they teach you about continuous learning, right? So it's the same in the Christian life. Don't stop learning. I'm still learning new things. I'm 71. Okay. Still very excited about life. Because God is working everywhere. I'm so grateful to be part of His company. Okay, I want you to put your hands on your head, okay? And as you put your hands on your head, I want you to believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to flow down from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And you will feel it. You will feel it. And when you feel it, just surrender that part to the Lord. Every part, every part of your anatomy. The Holy Spirit operates through the physical. You are His hand. Jesus has no other body on earth besides our bodies. The Holy Spirit is embodied in you. So your mind, your head, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your arms, your feet, your legs, every part is His instrument. So will you surrender that to Him? First of all, pray for God to cleanse you. Okay? In the name of Jesus, say after me, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Christ to cleanse every part of my being. From the crown of my head to every organ of my body, to the soles of my feet. Now, as you're doing that, now don't exclude any part of your body. Some of you don't like your body. Some of you prefer to look like someone else. That's what God wants for you. God has created you unique and special. Don't compare with other people. You are special. Now, as you sense God's cleansing, the blood of Jesus washing you, don't miss out any part. And I mean literally every part of your body. And I sense the Holy Spirit telling me that some of you feel dirty in some parts of your body. Maybe you have done something wrong with that part of the body. Maybe you have been violated, that part of the body. Bring it to the Lord. There's no shame, there's no condemnation. Bring that part of the body to the Lord. Offer it to the Lord. Complete cleansing for you today. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from every sin and defilement. Your brain, your emotions, bring them to the Lord. Sanctify my imagination, Lord, that whatever I imagine will be pure and in alignment with your word and your truth and the realities of your kingdom, the supernatural dimension of your kingdom. I will begin to see. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I set you free from bondage and addiction of every kind. Just yield to the Lord. Those things have kept you in any kind of addiction and bondage. Those computer games, those things that you seem to can't help stop doing. Just take authority over them. You got to name your weakness so that you have authority over it. What you name, you have authority over. You name it, you have authority over it. Don't deny it, name it. Name it and you will have authority over it. Bring that part of your body to the Lord right now. Cleanse me. Use this part of my body, Lord, for your glory. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you with the favor of God. I bless you with an enlargement of your spiritual capacity for Him, His love, His word, His presence. May you never, ever be content being where you are. May spiritual hunger continue to lead you and drive you to long for more of God. That you will not be an ordinary churchgoer just getting by with coming to service or attending a cell group only. I speak revelation to open up to you. Dreams and visions to become normal in your experience. They will touch and bless people around you. And the Lord mature you in wisdom way beyond your years as you hunger after Him and His word. And I call forth the warriors that are within you, the champions that are within you, to arise, that the destiny of God will not be thwarted in any way whatsoever by the deceitfulness of the things of this world. May nothing that the world offers to you be more significant than following Jesus Christ. May you see through futility and emptiness that the world offers, and Satan's lies will not have any effect upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you'll be a blessing to your parents, to your pastors, to your leaders, to your teachers, and everyone else you connect with from now on. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen.
Come, let's thank God. Shall we also thank Pastor Derek for sharing with us, and also Auntie Sulan for joining us as well. Thank you so much. We are very blessed and privileged. And it's in our custom that whenever Pastor Derek preaches, we will end off with the blessing song. So those of you who know it, sing loudly. So, I don't know, hold the hand of your neighbor around you, bless each other while we sing this last song, okay? You can take it away.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And be gracious unto you. and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. On you and give you peace. On you and give you peace.
Have a wonderful life.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. Okay, as you go on from here, remember to ask God, how can I be a blessing to someone each day, okay? So service is over. See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.